Previously on No Reserves Radio.
Oh my God, Angelo, come on. have some self-respect. The Eagles can't hurt you if you don't constantly pander to them.
Here's the biggest indictment of Dame that I can say. Dame has been so like off this year that Ren went on live air and said Jalen Brunson deserved an all-star start over him.
You are now Angelo DiDeLulo.
Do you think it is possible that the management of the Memphis Grizzlies are just buying into the reckless youth movement and they got rid of the one person in the locker room that probably was telling Ja to knock it off?
Because he's taken advantage of me multiple times when I was younger. That sounded bad. Holy shit.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think you're correct in that assessment.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to Nora's Radio. I'm your host, Randy, with always, and it's Angelo. No Austin tonight, as usual. You might have noticed we're releasing this episode a little late. For the first time in forever, that was actually deliberate. We should have probably made a social media post about it, but we're not good about that. Regardless, I wanted to wait until the season wrapped up, because as our normal reporting day, we would have still had games, and there was so much really in the air regarding the playoffs that we didn't really feel like we could honestly do a solid episode with all the information that we didn't have. So this was the first time we missed an episode deliberately. You're getting a little bit late. Back to regularly scheduled programming next week. Angelo, how do you feel this season now that it's in the rear view mirror? Was this a good season, bad season? Are you, because you're Angelo and all you care about is the NBA finals, does it not matter to you? Good talk. Did mute your mic.
Hello?
Hi. Oh. Welcome to the podcast. You're now?
Yeah, I'm here now.
Okay, did you hear my question?
Yes, I heard your question.
Okay.
And like it's kind of like I didn't have New York Knicks 2 seeds on my bingo card, but
you know, I don't think anyone did. Would you have had Thunder as your 1 seed?
No, probably not.
Right. Like this was a year of surprises, and I think that made it a little I don't know. Enjoyable. Like, I thought the Timberwolves would be. I did not think that the Timberwolves were as good as they have been. I did not think that the retirement home that it is the Los Angeles Clippers be as good as they are. The Orlando Magic sneaking their way into the 5 seed. The Indiana Sixers being a playoff contender. The Bucks being the 76ers being a play-in team.
I said they were going to be a playing team.
Did you? I don't
remember. Yeah, after B got hurt, you thought they were going to completely fall off. I said they'd make a plan.
Oh, after him. I thought you were talking about like preseasons. And
oh, no.
I'm talking like from start of the season to today. It's been a surprising season. And I think that makes it a little more enjoyable for me, at least, because it's not like the 2010s where it was like, oh, LeBron versus Steph in the finals. Yay. Again, it feels like it's really anyone's at this point.
I agree with that.
I think that there's very obvious favorites. But I do feel like any of these teams could get hot at the right time on a deep run, or got an injury happens to one of those teams, and
I don't know.
Suddenly it's...
I don't think, like, what happened last year, I think, was better than I felt going into this year. This year, I kind of feel like, and I don't want to give away too much for my predictions, but I feel like the Thunder as the 1 seed is great, but I also don't have too high of expectations for them, because I saw it last year with the Cavs, you see it new. We're probably going to see it this year with the Thunder and maybe even the Magic, is teams that make the playoffs for the first time in a long time generally don't have players that have experience in the playoffs, and they usually fizzle out faster.
Right.
That's why I like Denver better, and believe this or not, the Clippers better this year than I do the Thunder or the Timberwolves.
For sure. And I don't think that's necessarily a hot take in any stretch of the imagination, because
I didn't say it was a hot take.
No. I mean for me, like, I don't think that that's a hot take by stretch of the imagination. I think that basketball, ball, or playoff, any sport, or a completely different game than what you experience in the regular season. And if you don't have experience in that game, you're going to feel it after that game one, game two. You might start to kind of get up to speed by game three, game four. By then, it's typically too late if you've got a team of young players that have never, ever been there before. Now, obviously, there are exceptions to the rule. Like, some players just feel like we're made for the playoffs, and they elevate their games when it matters. I think the Thunder could surprise us, but I do generally agree with you. I think that because they have the tiebreaker with the Nuggets. They have the same record, so realistically, they're both the ones seed in my eyes.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think the Thunder will make noise in the playoffs, but I don't think that they're truly a contender this year.
I don't know about that, dude. Like, we haven't done predictions yet, but looking at the play-in teams for the West, the Lakers don't look like they could do it on paper, but LeBron, I'm not discounting LeBron in the playoffs and Thunder. Yeah.
Now, the thing is, it's not LeBron that I'm discounting when I don't have high hope of the Lakers. It's the rest of the team.
That's fair.
That said, like, I can already see in my head a graphic of last eight seed win the NBA finals, and it's LeBron James sitting there like on ESPN, and like it's gonna be a meme forever because he's freaking win the NBA finals this year.
I think at least for brackets, I'm pretty sure the Lakers would, if I was in the Lakers building, I would want to pull the Thunder first before I wanted to pull the Nuggets.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. You because how do you game plan for Nikola Jokic? Like, you don't.
Well, not only that, but the experience difference as well. But yes.
We should press. We're not going to make actual, like, it's going to be weird. So we're not going to make actual predictions until later in the week, just because we want Austin to be involved. The recording for that will be prior to the start. Yeah, it'll be prior to the start of the actual playoffs. So our prediction will be prior to any games being played, but we want Austin to be involved in that, and unfortunately he couldn't be here today, and legitimately couldn't be here today. Like, stuck at work. That's not, you know, gallivanting around Florida for 3 weeks.
Seems like you're throwing some shade out there.
I'm just saying.
What does Austin's gallivanting have to do with this?
You know, honestly, it's not as annoying and related to the podcast, because like I'm so used to just being you and me. It's the Madden League. It's so long to get through. I gotta go win another bowl while Angelo gets eliminated in the first round again. This year was interesting. So the NBA. Oh my god, the formatting on this is horrible. Holy crap! I'm not gonna be able to pull this up, but the NBA this year reduced technical fouls for flop. In the entire season. Oh my god, the formatting. There were 25 calls. Just 25. Do you think players only flop 25 times? Or do you think that the NBA just kind of forgot that they made this rule?
They forgot they made the rule.
I think that that's a rule that's definitely needed to be but I think it needs to be enforced more. So any, like, people will complain about raveling and what's another one that everyone complains about?
What, the traveling, the flopping, the soft defense?
No. Specifically, so people always, like, if you watch a game or you go to a game, the amount of times you see fans make traveling motion with their hands, like, people want those to be called. But that is such a tack call. It doesn't really impact the game that much. Like, basically, I would prefer a perfect call, but if it's within the flow of the game and it's understandable that someone would miss it because everything's happening so fast, I don't mind the travels when they're the iffy travels.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah,
yeah. Like, obviously, like, the ones where they take, like, 4 or 5 steps, whatever, but they're... If they take their first gather step in the middle of their dribble, like, as they're bringing the ball up, people think that should be a travel. Definitionally, yes, it's a travel. Get it. But like, it's not that deep. It doesn't change the game that much. But you only see people do that when the other team does it, when their own team does it. Every team is doing it. So if you're going to say it, then don't be a hypocrite. Tell it the refs for missing when your team does it. The flopping, that just... They need to do something about it. It is so ridiculous at this point.
I think it's just part of the culture at this point.
But should it be? Is it only part of the culture because they've gotten away with it for so long?
Maybe.
Regardless, I'm hoping next year, instead of 25, we have, like, I don't know, like 150. That sounds a good number. That sounds like a good number. In some other NBA related news, this is Angelo's soapbox. If you're ready for this one, many sources around the NBA believe Trae Young be on the move this summer, assuming Atlanta can find a buyer. Quote: "It's difficult to find a player, or it's difficult to win with a player like Trae. He needs to be the best player on your team, but he's not at that top tier level," an Eastern Conference executive said. Say Murray was the one singled ahead of the trade deadline, but he played himself back Hawks plans. Trae brings more star power and name, though many in NBA circles also prefer Murray as a player. The wild card might be the Detroit Pistons, who need to do something on multiple competing or per multiple competing executives. Trae is not the kind of point guard Detroit coach Monty Williams tend to prefer, but content can sometimes lead to strange results. So let's start with that last part. The Detroit Pistons.
What happened to a nicer guy?
No. Forget the Trae Young side of things. If you were the Detroit Pistons, are you... Even if Trae Young move needle for you, you already have Cade Cunningham. Are you bringing in Trae Young? That makes no sense to me.
No.
I'm not bringing in Kyrie Irving. I'm not bringing... I mean, I'm bringing Steph Curry.
Here's the thing, though. I think if they're talking about bringing in Trae Young, Cade Cunningham is part of that deal, low-key. I think he is. Because why you're just going to take the ball out of his hands? That's
right,
what Trae would do.
Like, at the same time, like, that's essentially a lateral move. Like, you're trading one star point guard that doesn't really play defense for another. You'd be trading probably the higher upside side plus. I think Cade has a higher upside than Young.
I agree.
So that doesn't make sense. Jaden Ivey would make more sense. I still don't do that because I'm very, very high in Ivey as a player. The problem is if
Ryan, you sound like you hate Trae Young as much as you accuse me of.
No. Not even close. I'm just saying, like, from a fit standpoint, it doesn't make sense. There's a few teams that I think Trae would do really well on.
So are we just going to ignore the point where NBA executives have basically confirmed everything I've said in the last year?
No, the thing is I agree with you. I don't think Trey is the guy on a championship team. I think he's a guy on a championship team, or could be. There's a few teams where Trey may makes a lot of sense. They don't need him, or they don't have the assets to get. Because regardless of how you feel about Trey Young, he's not cheap to get. But a team that has a primary ball handler outside of the one-shin, where Trey can play both on ball and off ball, not really right on defense. Like, I don't know, maybe a Boston Celtics. He would fit perfectly there, or see that he would do better in the Damian Lillard role than Damian Lillard does for the Milwaukee Bucks. But regardless, that's something to keep on radar going into the offseason. I still don't think a trade gets made, because I think the cost of Trey Young is more than people are willing to pay. Atlanta would be dumb to sell on him, because I think Cade Cunningham has a higher ceiling. That's not saying Trung doesn't have a high ceiling. I think Cade is a little more valuable as a player. He's bigger. So title. This is one I wish Austin was here to talk about. This season, Victor Wembanyama led rookies in total points, rebounds, blocks, and steals. He third in total assists. No rookie NBA history ever ranked top three in all five categories. So I think that Wemby has officially proven that he was the best prospect since LeBron James, just from that alone.
Interesting.
Agree, disagree.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It is tough to dominate an entire rookie class, especially when the rookie class also involves Chet Holmgren.
Yeah, to dominate it in every single category. That's insane. Last week, Rajon Rondo retired. This week, Blake Griffin retired. He retired today. Did you see that one?
I did not see that one.
So that's kind of an end of an era for sure. The early 2010s. Star players. And Blake was a star. Rondo was a star. I'm not going to say he's not. There were few players in the history game that are better than him as a pure point guard. There's still a few players from this era active. Russell Westbrook, obviously, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, like the superstars. John Wall, I think, is still getting minutes. Right. Somewhere. Bradley Beal.
He was on the Rockets the last time I remember, but I doubt he's still there.
No, he was last member of the Clippers. So realistically, that entire era is ending, which is unfortunately, like, that's my favorite era of the NBA. At least,
and yet
so
you
far.
Don't like the Clippers.
I don't like the Clippers. I prefer the Clippers to the Lakers, though. I don't like the current Clippers, but I want them to win. A weird situation to be in. I want all the people on that team don't have rings to get rings, just so people stop talking about how they don't have rings. Obviously, I want Paul George to win a ring. Like, I'm biased. Russell Westbrook, it'll feel weird if he doesn't win a ring. James Harden, kind of different about that one. So, yeah. But Blake is... It's weird to say, because I don't think Blake was ever near the talent level to be considered like face of the league, but he was in a face of the league. He was one of the most marketable players that I think have ever been in the NBA. Like, just a ton of national commercials. So, like, local teams, like, you'll have commercials featuring your players, and they're really weird and uncomfortable and awkward. But Blake was in every other commercial. It felt like Burger King, the State Farm commercials, those early State Farm commercials. And then, obviously, the dunk shenanigans, which, love or hate them, they're memorable. The jumping over the car, quote unquote, even though he jumped over the hood of it to win a dunk contest. A lot of people actually blame him for the advent of just prop dunks instead of fly dunks, which is why Mac McClung is dominating everyone, because everyone else is going to do prop dunks, and he's just being a freak of athletic nature. Do you think the next superstar player, at least superstar or like at a different time to retire, is going to be?
I mean, the low hanging fruit is LeBron because he's the oldest player in the NBA.
But like Derrick Rose, I feel John Wall is an easy, because John Wall, prime John Wall was he was an animal.
Sure.
And I feel like he's probably, if he hasn't like told his people he's retiring, maybe he's just never publicly gonna say I'm retiring, and he's just gonna always have that Wikipedia page that says last played for
NBA free agent. yeah
NBA free agent, last played for the Clippers. But LeBron is low hanging fruit, but I feel LeBron's probably got another 3 years.
A year? I think a year. Three. I don't know.
There's something about it that says three for me.
3 years?
3 years. Three more years. I'm probably wrong. It's probably going to be a year, but I refuse to accept that yet. So I'm going to say 3 years. It makes me feel better and will let me have this.
I will let you have this because I also want to smoke some of that hopium.
I mean, we were talking about this the other day in the group. Like, we're getting to the point where, like, all LeBron James is about to retire. Sidney Crosby and Alex Ovechkin are about to retire. Like superstar, fair face of their leagues.
Run. We're about to go through what Gen X went through when MJ retired.
The thing is, though like, they had Kobe, right? Like when MJ retired, had Kobe. We have a lot of Kobe's piece. I think the league is in really good hands, both we're not talking about the NHL, but in the NBA and the NHL, there's a lot of incredibly talented young players.
And I'm not saying that, but here's the thing. We don't have another LeBron. Kobe at least is close to MJ. Like, we can agree on this, right? Even if you want to say MJ. Okay. Who's close to LeBron in the NBA?
Right now, it would probably be.
And I'm not talking about current version of LeBron. I mean prime LeBron. But go on, sorry.
I would say that this would be either Luka or Tatum.
Luka or who?
Tatum. But I'm not sold on that. I think that there's another couple players that I think could take that next step to be the guy for the NBA, whether that's SGA, who he's shown flashes, or the guy we just talked about, Victor Wembanyama. When he came in the league, we all, often more so, but all of us had injury concerns. He just turned in a rookie season where he played 70 games. Leonard would never. So I think that the NBA is in perfectly good hands. Maybe Zion Williamson said, stop eating everything and get health.
I think Zion's a lost cause, dude. I think he's a lost cause. I think that's I'm going to sound crazy for saying this. I think Zion is as much hopium as LeBron playing in another 3 years.
But Zion is only, like, this is a stat that, or not a stat, this is a, that always still blows my mind. Zion Williamson is only 23 years old.
Yep.
I'm just saying, like when healthy, he's more unstoppable than LeBron James when healthy.
Than current LeBron?
Than any LeBron. Like,
I don't know. No.
Seriously, I want you to just go watch, like, just pure tape. Like, just watch Zion drive through him. I'm not saying he's as complete of a player as LeBron James. I'm saying going downhill, Zion more unstoppable than LeBron in that specific impact. Now, LeBron, on the threat that you drop it into coverage, triple team him, and yeah, you might stop him, but he's going to give you the no look in the back bounce pass to the wide open corner. Zion doesn't do that as much. He does have some passing ability. I'm not going to say he doesn't, but not to the end of LeBron James. But just from starting on the perimeter and getting to them, Zion is just as unstoppable as prime LeBron James. LeBron was better in every other facet, and that's what made him a threat, because you couldn't just clog the paint and build a wall. Not you can really do that with Zion, because Zion can shoot. I'm just saying, Zion's kind of scary when he's coming through the lane. Okay. And if Zion ever got help, I think it would be over for the league. So I don't think he's a lost cause. He's only 23. There's still plenty of time. He has a lot of career left, hopefully. Knock on wood, anything can happen. If he ever got it together, he would be the next face of the league. But I do think Wemby is a safe bet. He really feels transcendent. Physically, there's no player like him. Like, there was a clip last week where team was on a 3-on-1 fast break. Wim's in the paint against three opposing players, and no one would drive on him. They just kept passing wide open around the perimeter. No one would shoot. He could close out on them from where it was. So, like, at this point in his career here, he's already got that kind of defensive impact just for presence. Come on. It's this man is a cheat code.
Yeah. You're not wrong about that. I just know I'm going to miss LeBron.
Oh, I think everyone will. But I think there will be Phil issues. It'll just be weird for a little bit. Next up, the NBA Board of Governors has discussed a proposal that the run to which a team advances the NBA Cup would be used as the first postseason tiebreaker. Leaking GMs on NBA Cup investment versus head-to-head results first tiebreaker to bring final vote. Do you...
Wait, repeat that?
Okay, I'm gonna dumb it down, okay? So, right now, the way it works, okay? So, let's say you and me and Austin are in a league, okay? You and I finish with a record. Are you following?
Yeah.
Okay. And I finish with the same rec. In situation A, which is the way it currently is, we play fours in a year. You win three, I win one. You have the advantage over me. You get the higher seed, right?
Yep.
In this new format, you and I finish with the same seed, the same win. You win three games as I win one in our season series. But I kicked Austin's ass in the NBA Cup final. I get the first seed.
Oh, I feel about that.
I think that it's good because it's an incentive for the NBA. Because then you'll have the playoff teams taking it more seriously. I would be open to trying it for a season to see like how it really plays out. Again, it only applies tiebreakers, and would give teams incentive to actually try during the cup.
They really want the God
NBA.
They cup. Really want teams to care about the NBA cup.
I mean, I'm fine with it because I actually enjoy it. I thought it was a fun little distraction to regular season. because it made games have a different atmosphere during, you know, November instead of, oh, this is early regular season, who cares? It was fun. Was it important? Not really. It's fun. So I would like to see him build on it. I just don't know what that necessarily entails. Next up, fun little, or wait, do you have any like thoughts about like what would you do? Angelo is the commissioner of the NBA and doesn't have to listen to the board of governors. What would you change about the in-season tournament? Just go ahead and hash it out. Conversation a minute about it.
I would make it so that the team that won the NBA Cup, if that's what we're calling it, gets extra ping pong balls in the draft lottery. And if you made the playoffs and aren't in the lottery, you got ping pong balls in the lottery.
So my only question there, because I agree with extra balls in the lottery, is if you lose the lottery, does your pick just regress to your final stand? But if you win in the lottery,
yes.
You just move up into the lottery, or do you move up into...
No, you get one.
You get 101. So a team could theoretically be the best team in the NBA, and win the NBA Cup, win the NBA Finals, and 101.
Yes.
It's chaotic. I love it. Send it to the... Like, just do it.
Because there's a risk reward for it. Because the opposite end, okay, you don't, and let's say they're the worst odds, which is what, 0.5%. Let's say you don't get it with the balls. Your pick falls to whatever you had. So it's feast or famine.
Yeah. The only concern I would have is it's a situation of the rich get richer. Because let's be real, like Spurs weren't beating the Nuggets or the Celtics. So, like, the Nuggets or the Celtics getting a shot for that 101 that the Spurs never have a chance to get the extra ping pong balls for. That's the only thing that I'm hesitant about, but I love the chaos of it, so I'm all for it. Speaking of rich getting richer, did you see the Steve Ballmer?
The Steve Ballmer?
Steve Ballmer of the Clippers?
No, I did not see.
So during the final regular season home game, Steve Ballmer paid for the concessions, which was two food items and a drink for every fan in attendance in the final regular season game.
Really?
Obviously, he's super rich, but it's still $500,000 he paid for fans to enjoy the game, which you don't have a lot of really feel-good stories from the rich people in the NBA, like the owners, and I
like that a lot. I do like that a lot, and it gives you, let's be real, during the end of the season there's very few games that actually matter, and if you're in one of those games, the ticket prices is through the roof. But I do like that as a way to incentivize people to still watch those last few games, even if your team's clinched their spot.
Yeah. And it's just a great way to connect with your fans, and, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you're the little brother in town, on maybe it sways people that are kind of on the fence, that are just fans of the Lakers because they're the popular ones. Maybe they're like, oh, this guy actually cares about his people and wants to thank everyone. So he spends $500,000 to just thank them. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
And this is the weird thing about money. $500,000 is like you spending a buck for a candy bar at the store to him.
To them, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, but it's huge to me or you.
It's probably percentage wise a little bit more than that to a health.
It's like probably like $10.
Maybe I don't know what Steve Ballmer's net worth is. But he's definitely a billionaire, and $1 billion is a lot of money. So it's a lot more than like people realize.
It's a dollar. It's a dollar. He is worth $124 billion. You know, 500,000 is like a dollar to Steve.
Seriously?
Yes.
Hold on. Not that I don't believe. If he's worth 51.9 billion.
His net worth?
Steve Ballmer, net worth. 124 point. Hold on.
And now we are debating the...
No. I'm looking at the 10 richest people in the world. The richest person in the world is $231 billion. And keep in mind, this is net worth. This isn't like he can just go down to the bank and withdraw it. This is like his assets.
Yeah.
So, like, I think Ballmer has $51 billion in cash. Is what I was reading.
Oh, it's just the stocks he owns and the assets he owns, like houses and stuff.
Yeah.
He gets it to that. Okay, that's fair.
Okay. That makes sense, because I was like, that puts him up with... I mean, that does put him at number six on the richest people in the world. Mm-hmm. He is number six. I mean, he comes from Microsoft. I guess it actually makes sense. I did not really realize Steve Ballmer was that rich. Never mind, it's not as good of a story.
he gave the plebs
bought all their tickets. Never mind, not as cool of a story. I didn't do my research. That's on me. My bad. It's cool. It's nothing for him, but it's still cool.
It is. Yes.
So do you want to start talking about the playoffs, or do you talk about our expectations for end of season awards first?
I think the expectations of in-season awards is going to be a lot more boring, because I think there's a lot of heavy favorites, and I don't think there's much room to talk about dark horses other than maybe one or two awards.
Because Jokic is going to weigh the MVP.
Right, and the only thing you could say is, what chance does Luka have? Because he's the number two, and
the
I don't know
of the year. Malik Monk, it's
Malik Monk. He fucked the ridiculous fucking tear.
Only one that I have paused on is DPOY, because I feel like it's going to be Rudy Gobert. But there's
how do you feel
a world
about Wemby being
that's
second.
What I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I feel like there's a world where Wemby wins it. I don't think he does.
I don't think he does either, and that's why
I think Gobert wins it. I wouldn't hate it if Wemby won it. And obviously Wemby rookie of the year. Most improved player, you have some interesting takes. It's gonna go to Tyrese Maxey. Coach of the year, no one actually cares about.
Okay, so here's the discussion. Yeah, exactly. Here's an interesting discussion we can have. Is Tyrese this goes back to the Shea argument. Is Tyrese Maxey like a true comeback player of the year because he's a superstar? Or most improved. Most improved.
Yeah, I have a problem. I have a problem with it. I do not think if you are at level, you should be the most improved player. It's warranted. It's 100% warranted.
I'm not saying that it's not.
You shouldn't be like, you went from 25 to 28 most improved player. Like save that for people that were singled last year and they dropped the team.
And here's the thing too. You were arguing last year around this time that he was better than Harden on that roster. So really his improvement is more or less Harden getting off that team and him getting those touches.
Right, he's getting a lot more touches, and then there was the end of the year where Embiid was hurt, and obviously, like, he was better the whole year, but
yeah,
he had a lot more opportunity this year. I don't necessarily think, I don't have it pulled up in front of me. I guess I could pull it while I'm talking. I'm not sure any of his efficiency jumped. And that's been my problem with most improved recently, is it's just point totals jumping. And that doesn't really make sense to me. He's less efficient this year than he was last year.
He's just had more opportunity with James Harden gone. That's
right. So like, that's my problem with most improved, because a player that makes the jump and it's noticeable deserves that award more than some guy that went from 20 to 25. But
great. Agreed.
We don't have a say in the vote. We just can voice our frustrations. I do think Tyrese Maxey wins it.
I do too.
It should go to Kobe White.
Agreed. 100% agreed on that.
Rookie of the year. This is.
It's 1B.
It's 1B. I don't think you can probably even bet on rookie of the year. And if you you bet on Chet, it's probably a ridiculous payout per dollar. I don't have.
Hold on. Let me try to make a bet on Chet Holmgren. Let's see.
Throw a dollar on it because you're probably make a million. If you want it, and he's not going to.
Let's go to DraftKings. That's the website that me and Alex use. Hold on.
Clutch player of the year is interesting because it could be Steph, DeMar, or Che. There's a few other guys that be on it. But I think it goes to Steph. I think he's averaging the most in the clutch, which is the only thing that award is really based on. I don't know if that one voted on. I don't know. But it's going to be one of those three.
Entitled. It's not. Okay. Let me load. I have to load it on my phone.
Let's see if I can pull it up.
DraftKings Sportsbook.
NBA rookie of the year. It's plus 2,000, Chet. Across the board. Wimby, negative 10,000. It's Wimby's award loose. And he can't lose it. It's done. Are you still trying to pull up something even though I just pulled it?
Yeah. I'm trying to actually make a bet just to see how much a $1 bet on DraftKings
would net. Okay, I see what you're doing.
I don't care about the odds. I want to see how much it would net me.
No, I only cared about the odds. Wouldn't it be... I don't know how sports betting work. Wouldn't that be $2,000 for a $1 bet? Isn't that
you
what
think
plus
that? But I don't think it works like that.
I don't know how sports betting works. I don't
it awards. Here we go.
I'm addicted to it.
Oh, Eastern Conference. You more. Oh, this is Eastern Conference MVP. No, I don't want those. Cert rookie of the year. Jesus, this is taking longer than I expected.
So what we'll do this week, just for giggles, is we'll discuss the play-in and make predictions for the play-in, and then we'll loosely discuss the first round. We won't make any huge predictions, and then we'll have full predictions series by series.
Okay, sounds good. Sunday.
I wasn't telling. I don't care about your opinion. I was just letting the listener at home know what to expect this Sunday. You're just here to be. Do. While Angelo is wasting all of our time,
100%.
Follow us on all social media.
I can't even bet on it anymore. Yeah.
Follow us on socials at No Reserves on all of them. If you like what we do here. Like, comment, subscribe, follow, whatever your platform that you're listening to us on allows you to do that for us. It helps us immensely.
Here's how confident they are in Boston making it to the Eastern Conference Finals. The top two Eastern Conference Finals MVP award getters, top two, are Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum.
I mean, that's not a bad take. So, let's talk about the play-in tournament. That comes first. Start in the West because I read left to right because I learned to read that way, I guess. I don't know. First up, we have 10 versus 9 Warriors versus Kings. Who are you taking?
What's up?
Oh, my God.
Ah!
Western Con playing. 10 seed, 9 seed. Warrior Kings. Taking. Who are you taking?
Warriors.
For sure.
What's that?
I said for sure. All right, they're got more playoff experience. They've got a guy named Steph Curry. I don't know if you've heard of him. I love the Kings. I am the resident Kings fan on this channel.
You are absolutely the resident Kings fan.
It just feels like this isn't the Kings' year, as that pains me to say.
Mm-hmm. Yep, totally.
And again, the Warriors have a guy named Steph Curry he's going to get a play-in. How far will he get them past that? I don't know, but he'll get a play-in. 7-8 Lakers Pelicans. That's more interesting to me. I know what you're going to say. I know you're going to say the Lakers, but you're not saying the Lakers. You're saying LeBron's.
Well, yeah, but still,
I the Lakers. So badly want this to be the Pelicans.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure you do.
Because I think that if LeBron misses the playoffs this year, because play-in is not.
No, it is not. We have established that. We had a whole discussion about it.
We might see LeBron actually leave Los Angeles. Finish career somewhere where he actually has a chance to go out and.
Like Cleveland.
Or Miami, let's be real.
He'd be the best. Never mind.
East at 9-10, Bulls, Hawks. I know who you're seeing on this one, too.
Hawks.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you hate Bulls.
Yeah, not more than I hate Trae Young, but if there's one team that could, flum a matchup against Trae Young, it's the Bulls.
I think the Bulls take this year. Or the game. I think they're a little better contender for playoff basketball. I don't necessarily think the Hawks have an answer for all weapons that the Bulls can throw at them. Because again, Kobe White is a legitimate, should be improved player. Yeah. Zach LaVine, love him or hate him, he's a good player. Same with DeMar DeRozan, with Vucevic. I just think the Bulls are a better team.
No, I agree with that. I just think they don't have anyone to stop L. Trae Young. So
that's actually fair. I just didn't think I'd ever hear that come from you.
Well, I mean, the Bulls are the one team in the NBA who found a way to have no defense anywhere. So
that's because Lonzo got hurt.
That is true. I would feel a lot better about the Bulls if Lonzo was there.
But Caruso.
Yeah, they do. Actually, that's probably who's going to be on Trae Young.
That's 100% who's going to be on Trae Young, or Kobe White's going to be crowned a corner. One of the two. Last one, 76ers at the 70 versus Heat at the 80. This is the 76. Is Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey? Don't even say.
Run.
Don't even say it.
I have the Heat.
You didn't say it.
I did say it. I have the Heat.
No, I thought you were going to say the him.
Yes. I have the Heat.
Why?
Because then they're going to go on. And do you know who the 2 seed is this year, Ren?
2 seed is next.
They're going to beat them, too.
Who's guarding Bronson?
Doesn't matter. They have, I don't know what Eric Spoelstra deal he has, but he has some devil magic where it seems like everyone gets hot at the right time during the playoffs. You're about to get traumatized by Yami Garcia. I already forgot his name.
Hey, Hawkes. Christ.
Yeah, my bad. You're gonna be in a corner crying about a 30-point game from him somewhere.
I mean, he would at least make sense.
And then, of course, Caleb Martin is still here to traumatize you. He hasn't gone anywhere. Unfortunately, no more Gabe Vincent or Max Strus nonsense, but it's going to happen, Ren.
Absolutely not going to happen.
It's going to happen, Ren.
Bold of you to write off Joel and Embiid being the plan.
He still has another game.
So let's quickly, we won't talk about the one seeds or the seeds because we don't know who those teams are playing.
Yep.
So Timberwolves Suns. Timberwolves higher seed. Indeed. I'm taking, like, I know it's weird to say Kevin Durant and Devin Booker on the Suns. Anthony Edwards is the best player in the series. If we were to give an MVP per series, I think Anthony Edwards is hands down the favorite for this year. Top to bottom, I think Timberwolves have a better roster than the Suns. That said, I think the Suns win this year. Did you want to plug your mic? You got the Timberpups?
Yep. Give me the Timberpups.
Do you want to talk about what? Or is it just what I said? And
that was part of it. So, like, I was teetering. And when in doubt, you know, go against the guy who couldn't get 40% of the bracket right last year. But regardless, the Suns are they're an interesting team to predict because they have, like, no defensive players, basically. But they have a lot of offense. And the Timberwolves do have a lot of defensive players. And like you said, they have the best player in the series. So better defense, best player in the series generally wins out. It's just the Suns have way so much more playoff experience than anyone on the Timberwolves other than, like, Gobert. And I'd put an asterisk next to Gobert.
Because he was basically just the guy there. He wasn't like necessarily integral to his runs. Clippers at 4, Mavericks at 5. This is probably, in my opinion, going to be the closest series.
I think that should be the best series.
Yeah, I think the first round, this or Magic Cavs. But I really, really like the way two teams match up.
Yep.
And obviously, statistics be damned, I love Eric Lively. Luka is unstoppable. Chemistry between Luka and Kyrie. I know I questioned it last year. I doubted it, and I'm gonna be the first to admit I was wrong. These two work really well together. That said, first, what can you not about the team? Like they have a player at every position that can go out and get into 25. They've got top to bottom defensive ability. They're really just all around in the team. The only thing I think could beat them is the fact that the Clippers are fucking cursed. Like as a franchise. Because I feel like they're the better team here. And I want to say they're the better team, but it's the Clippers. Yep. So I'm gonna say the Mavs win this series. And I think this is my second time saying this. Clippers are the better team, but they're gonna lose.
Not yet. I got Clippers in this one. Not yet. Their time's coming. It's just not yet.
All right, that's.
It's like it's like you're gonna hate me because you hate wrestling, but it feels like the Clippers feel like a WWE storyline, and the NBA doesn't want it to end just yet. They want it to be more heartbreaking.
That's fair because I feel like everyone's rooting for those old guys.
Yeah.
everyone wanted to get their ring and right off into the sunset, which is weird. Like, it doesn't feel like that people actually like you, like James Harden or Russell Westbrook, but you are. Like, we're all like, go get them.
Yeah.
Moving
there's
out,
a bit
out
of
east.
Nostalgia on the Clippers. Sure. Like, like, even if you don't like those guys individually, you're like, okay, I'm used to watching these guys play. I want these guys to. Because a lot of them haven't won. Yeah. Other than Kawhi, none of them have, really.
Yeah, you want them to win it. And you want them. This is the last year for this. Like, we talked Blake Griffin retiring. This is the end of this Clipper era because they're rebranding next season.
Yep.
So like, it would be cool for them to go out. And who can say Chris Paul, but Griffin is Mr. Clipper. Like, he's the guy you think of when you go to the Showtime Clippers.
Yeah.
So, like, for him to retire and they're about to go on a playoff run, I would love for them to make a deep run. I'd love for them all the way, but I feel like the Clippers are cursed. I feel like that's partisan for the rebrand, even though no one will actually ever say that.
Oh, my
and
God.
I just think the Magic or the Mavericks have enough weapons that they could come out and surprise the team.
They could.
That's weird to say because Luka is ultimately MVP candidate. So, yeah. I think the Mavericks win. The Clippers are the better team. It's like in Harry Potter. Like, do you remember in the World Cup when they're like, oh, other team won, but Victor Crumb got the snitch. Like, he was the best player, but he lost. Like, I tight situation here.
Yeah.
Dated Harry Potter references. Moving to the Eastern Conference, we'll start at 6 Pacers versus 3 Bucks. This is, I think, a series that was kind of written in the stars or since Ballgate. However, I don't think it's gonna be a great series. Because it's going to go one of two ways. Because Woj tweeted this morning that the Milwaukee Bucks are preparing to without two-time Giannis Antetokounmpo for the start of their opening round series against the Indiana Pacers, but are hopeful treatment on calf strain will allow a return sometime later in the series. That sounds like you're hoping the series goes long enough for him to come into the game. The Pacers dominated the Bucks in the regular season. That said, the Pacers are also notorious for underperforming against that shouldn't perform. Doc Rivers, as of a coach as he is, seems to play better when he doesn't have a star player. Damian Lillard is an interesting question because Dame couldn't carry a team past the first round when he was in his prime. And now we're expecting him to carry him through the first round until Giannis didn't come back when he's old. So this is an interesting series because on paper now, this should be a 4-0-4-1 Pacers win.
Yep.
That's it's a young Pacers team. There's Pascal Siakam, this whole playoff experience on this team. And I really think that the Pacers have overperformed. I'm going to say that as a Pacers homer. Like, that we are in the sixth seed is shocking to me. I'm happy about it. It's a little early in the timeline. I would love us to win this series. I think the Bucks have enough weapons that they could win it. That said, I'm not going to not predict my Pacers. So I am saying the Pacers win this series 4-1. Like, can't not make the homer there. I will fully acknowledge that the Pacers could blow this, but everything on paper, the Pacers should win this series. They won the season series. Giannis is out at least for the first couple of games. And Doc Rivers is the coach of the Bucks. Payson, tell me I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
Yeah.
I'm going with the Bucks in a 7-game series, funny enough.
So you think the Bucks lose one game the first two. Like, yeah. Basically, they just keep, like, trading games, and then Giannis comes back, and then they win it in seven.
Yeah, pretty much.
See, that's what I, like, is likely, but that's just because I know that this Pacers team is punching above its weight. Not saying it won't get there, because I do think that this is a team to watch for the foreseeable future. I think Tyrese Haliburton and Benedict Arin, who's out for the series, he's out for the rest of the year. Miles Turner and Pascal Siakam, like, really, 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 really good team. But it's a little young for my playoff hopes. I think they'll get there. I think it'll be this year. But I cannot not predict them. And that's fair. That is fair. I have to predict my team. If they make it past the first round, I'm not predicting them. But the first round, stars aligned, and everything makes sense. Pacers win.
But yeah, I think the script is pretty obvious. If the series is over early, it's probably going to the Pacers. If it's dragged out, it's going to the Bucks. I don't see a scenario that, like, the Bucks just sweep through it early, and I don't see a scenario the Pacers win out at the end, especially if it goes to seven and Giannis comes back.
Basically, if the Pacers steal both games in Milwaukee, and the Pacers
win. Yeah, it's
saving the best for last. Cavs at four, Magic. I'm saying save the best for last, but we talked about this at the start of the episode. Magic are young.
They're younger.
Better than the Pacers. Pacers are young.
Yeah.
Cavs in five.
I think Cavs in seven.
Hmm. Franz is gonna go off a couple games.
Yeah, for sure. I do think the Cavs now have more playoff experience. Obviously, I said that last, like, that defeat against the Knicks was healthy for us, but at the same time, it was the Knicks. We honestly had no right losing that series. I don't care how good Jalen Brunson is. We had more firepower than them in that series. We, on paper, had a better defense than them in that series.
Something
and we still
had up. Something yeah. Up. It didn't feel like either they weren't 100% or there was something going on behind the scenes we weren't aware of. It did not. It feel like the Cavs last year. Like, they felt off for that playoff series.
So I'm kind of weary going into this playoffs. I'm like, are we about to see last year Cavs again?
But fair, that was their first real experience of playoff basketball as a team.
Yeah, for sure.
I think they went into it cocky, and they got kind of like underdog story is always going to win out. If you go into a series thinking one, and you play like one while the other team's really trying, you're gonna get humbled really quickly. That's something that LeBron really well in his career, and like Kobe and MJ, like all those like transcendent players. Oh, Kobe, how does it feel winning that game? And he was not finished. Like we didn't do anything. We just won a game.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's something the Cavs have learned last year. I'm not sure if I project. We'll talk about it more when we get into the actual playoff prediction episode. Not sure how far I project Cavs going this year, but yeah, I definitely think they get out of that first round. Just because I think the Magic don't match up very well against them. And again, the Magic are young as hell. I would assume they're probably like in the youngest three teams in the NBA. They just don't have the experience, and they got the players, but like we have repeatedly during this episode, basketball's a different breed. It's different, homie.
Yeah, for sure.
So we will have a little playoff episode coming out on Sunday. Okay. Austin will be there, or I don't know yet. I will take care of the fact he's not there. If he's not there, do you have anything you'd like to talk about today?
Do I have anything I'd like to talk about today?
Yeah.
How do you feel about the way the season ended?
What do you mean?
The Knicks getting the two seed.
Like you mean? I mean, it was because of injuries. Let's like
really.
I think this season was a good season. I said that earlier, but I feel like it ended more with a whimper than anything. Yeah. Like it was kind of one of those things where you look up and you're like, oh, the season's over. Cool. Whereas previous years, like it's like you're watching the last woman, and it's weird because, like we said, like the reason I recorded this so late is so still up for grabs, but it didn't feel like it was kind of boring at the end of the year. But the Knicks deserved that. They really didn't just play basketball all year. And New York is a town, city that deserved good basketball. So I mean I'm happy for Nens. It pains me to say that, you know, they deserved it. They earned it.
No, I'm not saying they didn't deserve it. I'm just saying
Juries played a role, but you know, sometimes how the ball falls.
Were you really shocked that the Pacers got the sixth seed after they made that trade?
After the trade, no, but I'm talking like from the start of the season.
Okay.
Like I think I predict them to be like a play-in team at best. Like Tyrese Halliburton did elevate his weight, and then Pascal Siakam is obviously an all-NBA talent recently. Miner took a leap. Benedict Miner took a leap. T.J. McConnell, which is weird. So yeah, not that like after the trade, like once the season really got rolling, like it was an oh shit, this is a play team. But at the start of the season, no, like that was not my thoughts. My thoughts were we were going to be competing for, or you know, mid lottery pick.
Mm-hmm.
We were good enough to not be in the dual running. We weren't going to be a bottom five team, but not expect to be legitimate locked into the playoff team. Not yet, at least. Just because, again, it's a young team. Prior to Pascal Siakam and TJ McConnell, Miles Turner was the old man of the group. No, App trade, I mean, obviously, if you're making the playoffs and you trade your first round pick, you've done something wrong. I after the trade, it's obvious, like it's a team. There was something. What was it? There was something. Oh, Caitlin Clark is a new NBA player. I think that's huge for both the game of basketball and the WNBA. She's amazing.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Indiana's are back. Got Tyrese Halliburton, Caitlin Clark, and Richardson. It's okay. Okay. Angelo is in shambles right now, everybody.
Over Caitlin Clark. You know, good for her for going 1-on-1, though.
Oh, side note, I don't want to actually talk about this. YouTube, go to YouTube and look up the New York recruitment video for LeBron back in 2010. It did leak, and it is a veritable who's who of New York personalities. Are you ready for the list that I just have me?
Yeah, I'm ready.
There's more. There's more than this. Tony Soprano, Donald Trump, Giuliani, Harvey Weinstein, Alec Baldwin. There's a lot of people. Go watch. It really, really makes me wonder what the other team were doing to recruit Bron.
They were trying.
I had one last thing I wanted to talk about, and I don't remember what one.
Hold on, 1 second.
Okay, I will keep everyone entertained with my. Huh? I don't think he's here anymore. Like I said earlier, guys, if you like what we do here, do all the things I asked you to do. It really, really does help us in a lot more ways than realized. Because if like you don't, so we're gonna get behind curtains here. So like if you follow us or one of the things we do or whatever, when we say the algorithm, what we're meaning, like if someone goes to sports on a podcast, if you have done one of those things, you influence the ability that someone that's never listened to and is not searching for us, they'll see.
All right.
Okay, all right. He's back.
All right. Sorry.
Yes.
What do you want to talk about, buddy?
What?
What do you want to talk about, buddy? What's been on your mind lately?
You don't want to know. It is not. You can have that conversation off the air. That is not something for a.
Wow.
No.
You hear that? You hear that, listener? I would bare my soul, and this man's like, nah. But no, seriously though. Let's say you were talking to a fan of the show, all right?
Right, absolutely.
All right. And they're like, hey, man, I really love Ren. I really love Austin. But where the fuck have you guys been? What would you say? What would you tell them?
What do you mean? Like, where have we been?
Where the fuck have you been? This is the first episode. This is the first of two episodes in the month.
Well, we kind of highlighted. So we had 2 weeks worth out because I had a family member in the hospital. Then this is late, but it's still this week's episode. But that was the rip.
That was planned. No, 100%.
So, a family member in the hospital. That's where Ren's been. I'm at a hospital. Let me tell Ren's you how old that is. So, full disclosure, one of my least favorite places to be is a hospital. I stand it. And I slept at a hospital a couple days.
What's that experience like? Because I've never done that.
The beeping wakes you up at 2 a.m. And then the screaming of other patients in pain in the hallway wakes you up at 3 a.m. And then you don't sleep very well because screaming in the hallway and the beeping nonstop.
My leg! You ever get that?
Oh, no.
No, my leg. Okay.
It's just mostly coherent shrieking because they're in pain. You don't actually say when you're in pain. You hold your leg and scream because your leg hurts so bad. You don't think sentences.
You don't form sentences.
But no, that's where Ren's been.
That's where Ren's been.
But we're past that now. So Ren is back.
So
there was a whole thing. There was something.
You had a whole segment. Now listen, Mr. I write down every segment, and I had to delete messages just so that Angelo wouldn't have the show sheet for today. Yeah. Don't think I didn't catch that. Don't think I didn't catch that. But
you were being a dick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Go on. I was being a dick.
You deserved it.
I deserved it. I deserved. Ren. So what would does someone have to look forward to for no, because honestly, like, periodic basketball episodes aside, we're hot right now, dude. This is the best month that we've had since October.
Yeah, we really have had a really strong it's like, what do we have to look forward to as we get into the summer? So,
yeah, well, not me. I know what I have to look forward to, but what do the fans have to look forward to?
So we're going to. This is I don't want to go behind the curtain too much for the plans, but we do have a lot of plans for extra content on top of your weekly episodes of No Reserves Basketball, No Reserves Football, and No Reserves roll on the ground in tights wrestling people.
That's only periodic, by the way. We're only doing that like once a month.
I would veto it if it was more than once a month.
Wow.
Plans. I'm not going to say ideas because we have the ball rolling on it. It's just going to get through the end of the NBA season.
It's just Austin likes to roll it down the cliff.
Yeah. No.
Then we have to retrieve it. And then, you know, we gotta do it.
Angelo is basically Sisyphus. And, you know, one must imagine Sisyphus happy. Don't want to spoil anything because, like, it's going to be fun if it comes out. So all I'll say is as we get into the off seasons of the respective sports, we have. You know the scene from Avengers where I don't even Avengers, I think it's Age of Ultron. I don't remember which movie it is where Fury's like, there was a plan, an initiative, right? Like, he's talking about it. Hey, we got one of those. We have an idea that we're going to run with. Maybe you'll like, maybe you'll hate it. Maybe you won't care and you're just here because you know, you're used to us at this point. Regardless, we'll do it, and I really do think you will enjoy it. I know that I will personally enjoy making it, and that's really what we make content for, is we make what we enjoy. I hope everyone else enjoys it, right? Because like, if we enjoy it, it wouldn't be an honest endeavor, and you would be able to tell.
Yeah, for sure.
So, without spoiling anything, we do have something planned this summer. It will not be sports related, at least not directly. I'm sure there will be occasional sports related things, but we're going to brand outside of our comfort zones a lot, with some new plans for the con. And the idea, I'm not sure how often this will be, is it will be the entire No Reserves umbrella. So it will be Angelo and I, as well as Austin and Alex, like, we'll all be involved in it. So you'll get more exposure. If you only tune into No Reserves basketball, you typically only hear Angelo and I. If you only tune into No Reserves football, you only hear Alex and Angelo. No matter what you tune into, you never hear Austin. So it doesn't matter. But regardless, once we roll this out, you'll get exposure to all of us a little bit more. To learn a couple things, not really about us, but about in a way how we think. It makes it sound way more than it is, but it's really not. It's gonna be fun, and it's gonna be a trial run, and we're gonna see how it does. But there is a really big plan for the summer.
Let's go.
That's all I can say. Like I don't want to spoil it because, like, if it's a, like, letdown, then whatever. You're making me talk about it, so fucked. But yeah, I don't know. Like, we haven't really talked about that. Are we gonna release that as a Thursday or a Tuesday thing? Like a different day. Like, what are we doing?
Probably a different day.
Different day. Okay. Because I didn't know when you guys were gonna start two episodes for football.
When the season starts.
Okay, so we do it on those days, because what else are we doing? I don't know. We'll have more information probably closer to the NBA finals. And hey, subscribe to No Reserves on Twitch. You'll probably watch Ren and Angelo fuck around and I'll be the show, but that's it at this point, because no one plays games anymore.
When is this going to happen? You just laid this on me. I didn't know this was a thing.
I'm just saying, to go get food. When you made me carry the episode, you went to get a DoorDash, didn't you?
No, I went to get pizza.
That's the same, you fucking asshole.
Yep.
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying, I need to get on that and...
We need to get on a lot of things, Ren. That's why I'm making you have awkward conversations. Because you won't want to have the awkward conversation, and you'll just want to do it. Just do it. Like the Nike commercial says.
It's not that it's awkward. At this point, I'm so used to having like conversations with Elf because you leave to get pizza in the middle of an episode, and I have to sit here and talk to myself. Like, I'm just imagining, like, no, I personally know a couple of our listeners, so I'm just imagining I'm talking to them and their faces in front of me, and that's like, that's the only way I get through it is, like, I'm talking to people.
Yeah, no.
Because
I do not have that. I just go. I just go, baby.
You just go.
Or just go, baby.
But no, serious. Like, tune in this summer. I really do think you'll enjoy it. There's going to be a lot of leeway. So, like, when we release the first episode, you might not like it. But the next episode is going to be similar, but completely different. And you'll understand what I mean when you listen to it. So do check those out. What'd you say?
That's all I got. You can do the plugs and let's get out of here.
I did the plug three times this episode because you kept leaving. So again, thank you guys for listening.
Fourth time won't hurt.
Follow us on all socials at No Reserves. I think what we do here, do leave a like, comment, subscribe, follow, review, whatever your platform lets you do it. Does help us a lot, and we appreciate it, and we do love to see it. And it does, you know, fill our brains with dopamine. You know, keeps the darkness at bay.
Now, if you don't mind me, I'm off to turn on my central air for the first time this year.
So, I turned mine on. Yeah, have a great week, you guys. Love you. Bye.